praise in this place. Clap your hands. Lift up your voice. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Every hand lifted in this place right now. God is in this house. Whatever you need is here tonight.
Jesus, we lift you up, oh God. We magnify you, oh God. We exalt you, Jesus.
Atmosphere of praise and worship. Why don't you get in groups of two or three around you? If you've got a need, go ahead and step in the middle of that circle right now. Let's go to God in prayer. God hears and answers prayers. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise all over this place. Mighty God, what an awesome job by the praise team. Beautiful singing, wonderful worship. We're going to go ahead and get right into the word of the Lord. Brother Kadarius Witherspoon, it doesn't need any introduction to this church. I'll say this, every class, every service, he gives nothing less than his heart to you guys and to everybody in this church. And I believe in him, and I'm thankful for his ministry, and I'm thankful for his impact across the church. Why don't we give him a hand? Why don't you extend your hand to him as he comes?
Come on, why don't you lift your hands to him tonight? Come on, somebody lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody praise his name. He is in this place. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're here to meet you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. Come on, let's just take some time and love on Jesus tonight. Oh, he's a merciful God. He is a glorious God. He is a mighty God. Come on, you ought to tell him that tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, oh God. We praise you for all your mighty works, oh God, for all your marvelous deeds. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thankful for your mercy and for your grace. Anybody thankful for his blood, his mercy, and his grace tonight? Hallelujah. Again, I always count it an honor to teach, to preach, to be amongst the people of God. And I'm thankful for everything that the church has done in my life. Is anybody thankful for the church tonight? Hallelujah. I don't know where I would be without the church. And he has done great things in my life. I wouldn't have had my wife and my beautiful baby if it wasn't for the church. My head would have been rolling down the street. Kicking. Somebody kicking it. Me kicking myself. I don't know where I would be without the church. I know that analogy don't make sense, but exactly, that's where I would be if it wasn't for the church. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe I have a word from God, and I just want to talk to you tonight. You guys going to preach with me tonight? Hallelujah. Let's turn to Joshua 24. We're going to start reading in verse 13. When you're there, say amen. There you go. And it reads, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which ye build not, and ye dwell in them of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not, do you eat. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods with your fathers, which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Everybody say, serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Everybody say, choose you this day who you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Everybody put your Bibles down. Let's lift up a voice to heaven and let's give God some praise before we pray. Mighty God, we love you. We thank you. I pray that you meet us in this place. I pray that you let your spirit move, oh God. I pray that you speak to every individual in this house, oh God. Hallelujah. Lift us up, oh God. Help us to get on the straight and narrow, oh God. Take us to the place where you want us to go, oh God. I pray that you touch my lips, oh God. Pray that you allow me to speak as your oracle, oh God. And I pray that you do all these things. Everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So again, so thankful to be talking to you tonight. Let's dig into the word of God. At the end of Deuteronomy 11, the Israelites waiting on the edge of the promised land with their leader, Moses barred from entering. The book of Joshua is a passing of the torch of leadership from Moses to Joshua and allowing a new generation of Israelites to claim the prize their parents once squandered through disobedience. The Israelites achieved success by keeping the covenant and obeying the law. God fulfilled his part of the covenant by blessing each tribe with its allotment of land. But near the end of Joshua's life, he challenged the people's loyalty to God, challenging them with this statement: choose you this day whom you will serve. The people of God had to choose between the gods that their fathers serve, the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, or the Lord who they have seen do many miracles on their behalf. But let me tell you, young person, whether it be the culture of the familial strongholds or whether it be the overarching influence of the world culture at large, I've made up in my mind that I'm going to be like Joshua and say, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Does anybody believe that tonight? In this day where it's going crazy, where people saying you can be whatever you want to be, and the influence of the devil is running rampant in our nation, we as Christians, as young people, as the people of God, we need to say, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. God is looking for a generation who is like Moses, choosing to rather suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Choose you this day who you will serve. The scripture talks about the transition of leadership that happens when Moses lays his hands on Joshua and the children of Israel hearken unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. I'm thankful for Brother Sutton. Anybody thankful for your pastor tonight? And all he has done over the 30 years that he has been in Birmingham. But I'm also thankful for the men Brother Sutton has laid his hands on. Brother Stephen and Brother Reggie, who is blazing a path for us with starting DaughterWorks, and Brother Jermaine. I'm thankful for what these men are doing in ministry. And because of their ministry, they are raising the level of the church. Amen. Because they are doing things that this church has never done before. I'm thankful for these men and the anointing that Brother Sutton has laid on their life. Because we won't be New Life without these men. I'm thankful for these men tonight. Come on, why don't we give these men a hand clap for all they've done in the church, all that they're doing. But the transition is happening. In Joshua chapter 3, we read Joshua is preparing the people to cross over Jordan. And he told them to sanctify themselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Through this feat, God magnified Israel's faith in him and through their faith in Joshua. After watching the waters of Jordan be dammed up, after the priests stepped out onto the riverbank, they would have no doubt that God was with them as they entered the battle with Canaan. As a new generation arises, we all must go through this same process. And the people of God, like the people before us did, Moses and the Israelites came out of Egypt and they passed through the water. Amen. Let me tell you, young person, you can't circumvent the process. Everybody has to be in alignment, and everything that God demands of us, we have to do. We have to go through the water. Amen. We have to be baptized in Jesus' name. We have to be filled with his spirit. It is God's mandate for our lives, and this is the very baseline level that we must achieve. We must do this. You can't enter into heaven without this. You can't be a part of God's covenant if you don't pray, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't repent daily. You have to do these things to be a part of what God, be a part of God's plan and what he wants to do in your life. Amen. God has ordained this process. This is a process that is very old. It is laced into the word of God, and we must heed to that. When God fulfilled his covenant by performing a miracle, monuments should be created. The monuments offered an opportunity to teach future generation about God's work. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in a time to come, what does these stones mean? Then you shall tell them the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. The things that we're doing, we are laying the foundation for our kids. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to stay in the process. You have to stay in alignment with God and what he has for your life. These are fundamental things that you have to get down to the core of your spirit and of your being, because we are in a transition and God is looking for somebody who will carry these things with them and teach them to their children. Amen. And I just want to tell you that these things are important. And I just want to tell you tonight that the people that were crossing over Jordan and going into the promised land, they may have not been there when God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And they probably didn't see the taskmasters whipping the backs of their parents and seeing the persecution and everything that their parents went through. They probably didn't see it. They probably was not there when they was walking out and they saw the plagues that Moses and God inflicted on the Egyptians. They weren't there. They didn't see those things. And they probably didn't see when Moses led them out and they came to the bank of the Red Sea and saw the mighty works that God did in that moment by splitting the waters. And God did a great miracle on that day. And the Egyptian was following after them. And they didn't see how God washed the waters over the Egyptians in that moment. They didn't see that. And they're wondering, what mean is these stones? But I'm telling you, as this transitions happen, we can have these moments for ourselves. Amen. We can see the miracles at which God did. I didn't see those things, but they can say we were on the edge of Jordan and I saw the waters being pushed back and dammed up. And I saw the miracle of God as we crossed over onto dry ground. And I saw the miracle of God that day. I can see it with my own eyes. I saw it. I know God is real. And let me tell you something. As you grow up in church, and your parents tell you how bad they were in the world. Has anybody heard that story before? How I did this and how I did that. And, man, you wouldn't want to see, as my mama say, B.C. What does B.C. mean? It means before Christ. You didn't want to see me back then. You would have caught these hands. But I was being crazy. I was being buck wild. But God delivered me. I wasn't there. I didn't see those things. But I'm here to tell you that I have seen some great things. I can think back when preachers would come to the church and they would prophesy to us and say, one day you're going to have a church on a hill. I heard those things. And I didn't see as those prophecies would come to pass, but I saw as the church grew from 200 and the church grew to 300. And the church grew to 400. And I saw how God made a way for the finances to work and how he made a way for us to enter into this building. Amen. Does anybody remember? I'm talking to this generation. You saw the miracle of God firsthand. And I remember that service. We came into the house and we began to rejoice and praise God because we were sitting in the middle of the miracle which God has done in your lifetime. I'm talking to a generation. God is doing great things in your lifetime. And you need to understand that God wants to use you today. I know we hear the history of our parents and what they've done, and we can hear the history of the church, and the history is important. What God did in those people. But I'm telling you, God is doing great things in your generation. He's doing marvelous things in your generation. In Joshua chapter 5, it talks about the covenant and the circumcision which they were supposed to perform in the wilderness. And we're going to start reading in verse 4. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised. Everybody say circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Everybody say, obeyed not. unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them. By the way, we know the circumcision was a sign of the covenant. Amen. Who knows why the children were not circumcised? Who knows why their parents didn't abide by the covenant which God had? Who knows? But the scripture talks about that they were disobedient. They did not obey the voice of the Lord. And I can imagine them seeing the things of God happen in the wilderness, but wonder why they didn't come all the way in the covenant, or why they weren't living up or being circumcised like their parents did. Because I'm pretty sure it was preached. I'm pretty sure it was taught. And I'm pretty sure that they knew about it. Why was I not circumcised? Why didn't I be in covenant, in alignment with God? Who knows why? But we know that parents were disobedient. And I'm here to tell you tonight that some of us was like that. I'm looking at a group of people who grew up in families where your parents were in church, and somehow along the way they fell off and they didn't uphold the covenant. They didn't uphold the standard that God had. And you saw those things and you wondering why. I know I go to church and I see those things being taught. I see those things being demanded of us, but why are we not doing those things? Why are we doing something different than what the man of God said? Can anybody testify tonight? I know I witnessed it firsthand. I was there questioning why we weren't doing everything that the church preached. I can think back on a Sunday night. I was 13 years old. And at 13, I forgot where you, well, it was 2003, and I was a big fan of wrestling. Love wrestling. And on this Sunday night, it was WrestleMania. And the biggest fight of the generation was about to happen. The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. There was a transition happening in WrestleMania. And I remember being at church just like, ooh. I know we about to leave here and go watch this wrestling match, boy. I'm telling you. Oh, yeah. We about to leave the church where they preach against watching television, and we about to leave and go. I'm sitting in the church anticipating leaving the church to go watch this wrestling match. They didn't uphold it. I'm like, I know it's bad, but I want to go watch this wrestling match. I remember, I love basketball. I remember we would leave church sometimes and go watch the playoffs when Kobe was playing the Suns. I remember being at my uncle's house looking at the game after church when it was told that we shouldn't be looking at that. I remember those times. I remember going on vacation and wearing shorts. I remember those things. Anybody with me tonight? Being in a house where the things were being preached, but the people over me weren't necessarily holding up to a standard that it should be held up to. It's a sign of the covenant, you being obedient to God's word and what the man of God has said, not living up to it. I'm in my house is not being preached like it should. Is anybody with me tonight? But the scripture talks about the passage. You need to leave the gods of your fathers behind. You need to leave those patterns of behavior that you saw as your parents fell because of their disobedience. You need to leave that stuff out of your life. Amen. I'm talking to a people who is going to rise up in this city. I'm talking to a people who's going to teach Bible studies. There's future preachers here. There's future teachers here. There's future men of God and women of God here. that is going to lead a generation of young people coming behind you. And it is your mandate to uphold the standard of God, the covenant of God. It is your responsibility. You need to choose today. Don't allow that spirit to creep into your heart. I know you've seen it. You've seen those patterns of behavior all your life. But you need to choose today that I will submit myself to the man of God, to the will of God, and to God's purposes in my life. And I can't bring those things along the journey with me. Amen. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And as you read on in Joshua, and after the people of God has circumcised themselves and they're crossing, they've crossed over Jordan, and now they're going and got a victory at Jericho. And you know the story. They march around the wall 7 times. And they conquered, and they saw mighty victories in that day. That the man Achan, he took things from Jericho that he should not. Took a garment, took some silver, took some things from Jericho that he did not need, that the man of God told him not to take. And see, we can't allow that spirit of disobedience there. We can't allow that spirit to work in us where we think we can do what we want to do and make our own way. He's heard it. Achan has heard it. And he still tried to do it his own way. You can't do it your own way. God is serious about his covenant. And you understand his word. You understand what God has for your life. You need to abide by it. You need to live by it as much as you possibly can. All the understanding that you have of what needs to be done, you need to live by that standard. Amen? And we see the sad story of what happens to Achan. The people of God go out to war, and many men died that day. And Joshua goes to God and said, why did this happen? What happened? You told us to go, and all these men died. God said, there's sin in the camp. And he pulls up the group of people, and he dwindles it down, and he finds Achan. And he said, did you take something? What did you do? He said, I took the things that God told me not of. And he said, take them, him and his family, and they took him out and they stoned him and they burnt them with fire. That's extreme. I read it. I'm like, he just took some things. He just took a few little garments, but he was disobedient. I bet you his kids was right there behind him. I bet you the people in his immediate circle that was right there with him. I'm telling you, once you hear the word and you don't abide by it, you will send ripples out. And it affects people more than you. I'm telling you, God has chosen this generation, and he is asking you, he is crying out to you, be in alignment, submit to me, submit to my covenant and what I have for you. And don't underestimate the power of your influence. Of those that are around you, when you disobey, when you come out of alignment, when you're disobedient to the word, it sends ripples out from your circle and you're affecting people around you. Don't be like Achan. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's very sobering what happened to him. But God and his covenant, God doesn't play about his covenant. I just think about the times where when I grew older, I had an opportunity to choose. I had an opportunity when it was in the ball was in my court as I became 17 and 18 and 19 years old, where I had to choose. Even though I grew up and I saw these things, I grew up where people were compromising in my immediate circle. I had to start choosing. I couldn't allow that spirit of disobedience. I couldn't allow those things to work in my life because I knew God had something for me. At the time, I didn't know what it was going to be, but I felt God pulling on me and tugging on my heart say you need to abide by the rules and standards. Because people like me, they just, my friends talk about it all the time. You just do things your own way, don't you? You abide by your own rules, huh? But you got to push back against that. I ain't going to ask that. You need to push back against that. You need to push back against that. And in Ephesians, it talks about the children that worketh disobedience, the spirit of disobedience in those kids. We can't have that. We got to push back against that because God has chosen you to lead. And God cares about his covenant. He needs you to be in alignment. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But it's not all bad. It's not all bad. Everybody's not compromising. Everybody's not throwing away the covenant and the promises of God. Everybody's not doing that. You need to find some men and some women who have been through some things, who have came out of Egypt and passed through the wilderness, and they had opportunity to do those things, but they kept choosing. They kept choosing to follow after God. They kept choosing to follow what God had for their life, despite of how they felt. At the time, it may not felt good, but they chose to do it. These are mighty people in our lives. I can think about people that made an impact on my life. I think about Brother Butch. Brother Butch Butler. He is a usher in the front. He has a smile every time I come to church. And he's been here for a long, long time. I remember being in Sunday school, and I would come in, and he would smile at me and say, "Son, God is going to do great things in your life. Son, God is going to do mighty things in your life." And I would never forget that. But there's a man that has been here for years that made an impact on my life. And I look out when he's doing usher and greeter, and I say, he's still here. There's a man who's been faithful to the house of God. He chose. Think about Brother Ronnie Miller. He taught many people. Many guys that my family knows and that my dad knows, he taught many of those guys Bible studies. He's always been in and out of my life somehow, and he's been faithful to the house of God. I seen that man walk through cancer. When everything seemed like his life was crumbling, and he had a very bad case of cancer, when he could have said, "Man, this is too much. I could have gave in," but he stayed faithful to the house of God. Every time Brother Sutton would give him the mic, he said, "Praise be to God. If God heals me, he heals me. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But I'm going to continue to serve. I'm going to continue to live up to the standard of God." He chose to continue to live. Brother Cliff teaches Bible studies consistently for years. The man never changes. He's always preaching and teaching the word. And Brother Stephen always talks about how he had back problems and how he would roll out of bed to go teach a Bible study and how he was faithful to the house of God. And God moved in his life. He has been a statue in this church for many years. When he could have given up, when he could have went somewhere else, he chose to stay in the house of God and abide under the covenant and under the will of God. Think about Sister Bunny. My whole family knows Sister Bunny. Said, "Man, I love coming to your church because that lady sure enough can sing. I'm telling you." Like, one day when I decide to come to church, I'm going to come to church because Sister Bunny. She can sing super good. But she has been faithful song leader in our church, who have helped in the transition of the song ministry over years. And we have a praise team now because of Sister Bunny. She chose to be faithful to that ministry. She chose to choose you this day whom you will serve. I'm telling you, you got to put those gods behind you, whether it be money, whether it be family, whether it be the culture that you came out of. You got to leave all those things behind because God has so much more for you on this side. He said, if you choose me, I have so much more for you. I want to drill it down in your spirit tonight. You need to choose. God is transitioning us, and he's looking for people who will be faithful to his statutes and to his will. Amen. And we go down to chapter 24. And after God has done many works in the people of God, and God has allotted land out to people because they're in the promised land, and God is handing out the allotments. In Joshua's final address, he goes through the history of the Israelite people. And he talks about how Abraham was faithful and how Isaac was faithful and all the great men of God and how they were faithful. Yes, they made mistakes. Yes, they fell on their face sometimes, but they continued to choose the things of God. No matter what stood in their way, they continue to choose the things of God. Let me tell you something tonight, young people. God is looking for a young man. God is looking for a young lady who will say, I choose today to serve God with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, all of my being. I'm going to choose tonight who I'm going to serve. And at the end, in verse 21, this is the people in response to Joshua. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Everybody say, I will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto people, you are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Say, we are witnesses. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange God which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord be our God. We will serve in his voice. We will obey. I'm telling you. You need to choose. You need to make up in your mind tonight that I'm choosing to serve the Lord no matter what comes my way. I'm telling you, you're always going to have obstacles in your life. You're always going to have things that come against you. But you need to make up in your mind tonight that I choose to serve the Lord. I choose to walk in his statutes. I choose to be here whether my friends leave, whether my parents leave, whether the people close to me, my mentors, whether they leave or not. I choose to serve the Lord. Come on, you ought to stand to your feet right now and declare it tonight. I choose to serve the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody make up your mind tonight. You make up your mind tonight that I choose to serve the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. You may be seated. I listened to Elizabeth. Has anybody heard Elizabeth's song, Real Friends? Man, I was sitting there crying listening to that song. Because this girl is pouring her heart out. And her immediate group of friends, they chose not. And I hear her testimony, how she went through things in her mind and the struggles that she has. And she said, I could have given up. But she's still choosing to be in the house of God. Even though she feels like sometimes she can't do it, but she is choosing to be in the house of God. And there's stories all over this house where you could have said, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. But you chose to be in the house of God. Brother Sam, you can come. I heard a story that saddened me so much. It's about some young people. And they was talking amongst themselves. They probably had a house or something, somewhere by themselves, enjoying time together, shooting breeze. And they start talking about the church. And they start talking about the standard that is high that we live, that seems like it's so high that we can't reach. Like, man, it's kind of hard sometimes. to live up to that. What Brother Stephen preaches and what Brother Jermaine talks about. And it's so hard to reach sometimes. They were talking, they were just conversing about it. But they were in the valley of decision, both of them. They were mulling the things of God over. They were mulling the choices of going into the world over. And they were just talking about, is this worth it? Am I going to choose? I'm in the valley of decision. I don't know if this worth it. I seen my family fall. I seen all these things. I saw people walk away. I don't feel God sometimes. You know, all this stuff they're talking about. And they made a pact with one another. They said, listen, talking amongst themselves, they said, I'm going to choose to live this thing to the fullest. And you go out into the world and live that to the fullest. Right there, they made a casual decision about their destiny in the kingdom of God. One chose to be in the house of God, and one chose not to be in the house of God, just casually. I know it was years and years of making that decision, but in that moment, one chose to be in the house of God, and one chose not to be in the house of God. Who knows what would happen to the young person that chose to be in the world? The world is a dangerous place. It will flip you upside down, have your head rolling down the street. We'll put you in the washing machine and you'll be all mangled. Who knows what will become of him? You may think that you can go out there and live that way and be casual in the world and do the things that they do, but I'm telling you, the world is not a safe place. But to the young person who chose to stay in the house of God, he said, I'm going to live it to the fullest. And I'm going to see what God has for my life. And I'm going to see what he is going to do in me. Regardless of where he was at that time and how he felt about the things of God and how much he didn't understand or what he did understand, he did choose to be in the house of God. And his trajectory is forever changed because he is going to be faithful to the house of God. He is going to continue to choose the things of God. And he made a decision that day. That as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. I'm telling you, young person, as God continues to do many marvelous things in this church and in this generation, you need to make up in your mind that you're going to be on board. You need to choose today who you will serve. You've been in the classes. You understand the word of God. You can quote scripture back. You've seen the miracles of God in your day. You've seen it. But you need to make a decision tonight that I choose to be in the house of God. Whether my friends do it or not, whether my family does it or not, I choose to be in the house of God. Let's stand. Question. You may not understand everything today. You may not know how God is going to work it all out. You've been let down. Yes, I know you've been let down. I know you've seen bad patterns of behavior. Yes, I know you've seen people in your life compromise. I know. But you need to make a decision. It's on you now. You're a big girl now. You're a big boy now. You can't lean on those people no more. You need to choose. You need to choose who you will serve. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to come to the altar tonight and make a declaration to God that no matter what happens in my life, I will be in the house of God. No matter what my sister does, no matter what my brother does, I will be in the house of God. Because I know in the end that God is going to make all things work together for my good. The trouble that I go through, God will make a way. He will work it all out for my good. Come on, somebody, choose tonight. Choose who you will serve. Choose who you will serve.
I surrender. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I know you're praying, but I want to end this on a high note. I know it's very sobering. You're going to choose to do the right thing, but I need somebody to get an unction in their spirit tonight that said, no matter what comes my way, no matter what obstacle that tries to get me to go back into where I was, I'm going to choose to serve the Lord tonight. Come on, somebody stand on your feet right now. Come on, I need somebody to declare it with all your heart tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm never going back, Jesus. I'm always going to choose your will, your way. Everything that you have for me, God, I want it. Do you want it? Do you want what God has for you? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody praise him one more time before we leave this place.
Thankful for the word of the Lord. Let's give God one more hand clap of praise for what we've heard. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a wonderful word that we heard tonight. Let's make sure we apply it to our lives. This starts now. It doesn't just start in a nice moment in the altar, but you've got to take the word that you've heard, carry it to tomorrow and carry it to the next day and choose you this day. Choose you every day. Who you're going to serve. Let's give God one more hand clap of praise. We've got fellowship and food down in the gym. Everybody have a blessed night. Thank you for coming.